All right, let's spend some time looking at the scriptures together today. This is from Matthew chapter 5. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the... Oh, hang on a tick. Sorry, I've just got a... there's some dinging going on my phone here. Hang on a tick. What's going on there? All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I've just got a... Sorry, I'm just clearing my notifications on Facebook. All right, okay, now where were we? Oh, that's right. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit... Oh, sorry. I don't get many messages on Instagram, but my Instagram is just going crazy this morning. Sorry about that. Sorry. All right, I can... Let's love that one. I can deal with that later. All right, here we go. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the... I am really, really sorry. Unbelievable. Don't people... What, I know how people are trying to message me on Sunday morning when they know I'm on a live stream. Oh, unbelievable. That can wait till later. All right. Is your life like that at all? Do you feel the habit or the pressure of the constant draw or interruption or addiction that draws us into social media? Social media is a big part of our lives, and many of us have phones that provide us with screen reports on how much time we've spent on our phones during the previous week. But it doesn't break down how much of that time is spent scrolling through our Instagram or our Snapchat or our Facebook or whatever else is going on in your social media, because social media is a big part of our lives now, and it's a place where we get information, it's a place where we find out about things, it's a place where we connect with people. It's a thing that did exist 15 or 20 years ago, and those of us who are young have never lived in a world without social media. Social media has had a dramatic effect on our lives. And here's the thing, almost every social media platform is free. And you know what that means? That means that the users, you and me, we are the product. You see, we get to use a social media platform, and then the social media platform sells us our attention, and our personal details to advertisers so that they can earn an income. And so that's the number one rule on the internet. If it's for free, then we're the product. And so they have a deep interest in us using the product as much as possible. They try and make it as addictive as possible so that we keep coming back to it. And they don't really care what we're doing on the platform. They just care that we're on the platform, giving them information, giving them our attention, you know, filling out those, you know, those quizzes and surveys. They might seem like harmless fun, but they actually are used by marketers to help profile you and me so that they can target ads better and they can sell out profiles to others. And they will put, they'll have algorithms and computer programs that determine what we see. And those programs determine what we feel. Because our interactions with social media confirm or challenge our biases. They make us feel angry or happy or amused or sad. And in fact, they want stronger emotional reactions from us, because the stronger our reactions, the more we'll be interactive and the more we'll be engaged and the more we'll stay connected and the more time we'll spend and the more they can sell advertising to us. And you might think, well, I'm hardly on social media. Social media doesn't impact me. Well, guess what? It does. Because even if you don't have a single social media account, the people that you interact with have social media accounts. And the effects of social media on them bleed into your life too. And even if you don't really see that, it's affected the way our news cycle goes. And broadcast TV and newspapers are having to keep up with social media, because on social media, people go with information or supposed information or scoops or headlines before they've checked it out. And so mainstream news media has to do the same thing, because they're competing with social media for your eyeballs and for your ears. And so even if you have nothing to do with social media, it impacts your friends and it impacts the broader community, and particularly the way news is transmitted and formed throughout our culture. And since it's such a big part of who we are as a community, it's worth our while reflecting on it from the perspective of Jesus. Now, there wasn't social media back in Jesus' day. But there's been some research done that suggests that what social media does is it takes what's already there in terms of communication trends and what people like and dislike, and it amplifies it. But what it tends to do is it amplifies the things that are maybe less helpful. You know, if you're just hanging around with people and there's someone who's always nagging or complaining or saying outrageous things and you get sick of them, well, then you can sort of move away or can find some other circle of friends. But if that's happening on social media and that's what gets the reactions on social media, then it's much harder to escape that. And we are impacted by it on a regular basis. And I started reading at the beginning of this sermon from the Sermon on the Mount. I just want to spend the next little while just going through the Sermon on the Mount and reflecting on it as how the Sermon on the Mount interacts with social media, how the Sermon on the Mount might bring a mirror up to social media or shine a light on social media and our interactions with social media and how it actually happens, and so that we can then be more aware of the impacts and effects and we can be more deliberate in the way we actually choose to interact with social media, because I think it can change us in unexpected and unintended ways, and not necessarily so that we're more like Jesus. So the Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5, and it starts with the passage that I was reading. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for them theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that seems anti to what's like on social media. Blessed are those who have lots of likes, not those who are neglected. Blessed are those who garner attention by posting outrageous things and having their things retweeted or reshared or whatever else. And if you try and be meek or a peacemaker on social media, your comments will just get buried under the torrent of judgment and condemnation that is there. And if you try and be a peacemaker and bring different sides together, people from both sides will pile onto you, and people will feel free in social media land to say the vilest things about you. Even if they're from the other side of the world and have never met you, they'll pile on in incredibly, sometimes harmful ways. And so Jesus comes to social media and says, no, that's not the way it is. It's an upside down kingdom. Now, in God's world, it's the meek and the poor in spirit and the merciful and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and the peacemakers and the pure in heart, they're the ones that are really blessed. Not the ones that social media says are blessed, not the social media stars, not the ones who the social media platforms say are blessed. Jesus goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. One of the things, and we'll come back to this as we keep going through the Sermon on the Mount, is that our social media presence is that we tend to curate it, don't we? We tend to make careful decisions about what we actually put out there, because we are all managing our image now. It wasn't, you know, a few years ago, it was the celebrities and the sports people and the people on TV and the actors that would manage their images. But now it seems that everybody is in the image management process. And people will even have two Instagram accounts, one because they're public one that everybody gets to see. And then there's a private one where they let their hair down and they're a bit more real with just a close circle of friends. Whereas Jesus says, well, guess what you are on. Be such a person on the inside that what comes out is worth seeing, that what comes out of you is actually light-filled rather than darkness-filled. Then Jesus goes on in chapter 5 You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. See, Jesus here is getting at the what underlies murder and things, and violence and things like that, and that's anger and contempt. And one thing that social media is great at magnifying is anger and contempt. You and I can get a sense of, yes, we're on the right side, we're in the righteous group or whatever else, when we express contempt for some other group or some other position or some other opinion. And it's so easy to express contempt. It's so easy to express anger. You can do that in a tweet. You can do that in 140 letters. You can do that even in a short line. And social media drives short, sharp, snappy responses. And immediate responses rather than considered responses, rather than nuanced responses, rather than carefully thought through responses. And so social media tends to magnify and draw out our anger and contempt because it's easy to communicate those things on those platforms. And yet, if we engage in anger and contempt, we are helping to form ourselves on the inside in a way that Jesus doesn't want us to be formed. Hopefully I managed to mute myself before you got deafened with my sneeze. Jesus goes on, you've heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustily has already committed adultery with her in her heart. And we have access to images of people and photoshopped and filtered and cropped and manipulated images of people that are again designed to draw us in, to attract us, to stir emotional responses in us. And so we need to be really aware that social media bombards us with images that are designed to elicit responses in us. And this is not exactly what this passage is talking about, but those images are also images that you and I compare ourselves against. And we think, we're not like them. They have more hair than us. They are fitter than us. They have less weight than us. They're better shape than us, whatever else. And we're bombarded by these images that are designed to be attractive. And we get unconscious messages to us that we are worthless or we're not as valuable a person or there's issues wrong with us because we are bombarded by these images. Again, you have heard it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, you do not swear an oath that either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is the footstool, by Jerusalem, for it is the city of great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. How many of you have put up an event on social media? And lots of people have said, they're coming, and then no one comes. You see, you can commit to things in social media, but it seems like commitments on social media are not the same level of commitment as people would have in person or in writing or other ways of giving commitments to things. And so we need to be very careful that social media isn't forming us in ways where our yes is not necessarily a yes and our no is not necessarily a no. You have heard that it was said, Jesus goes on, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist evil, an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Social media is a great place where we can fire off instantaneous responses. And if people insult us, we can insult them back. If they neglect us, we can neglect them. If they say something outrageous that we disagree with, we can say something outrageous back. It's this instantaneous response medium, and the emotional satisfaction that we get of pressing the send button or clicking on the arrow or whatever else it is. We need to be really aware of how social media can form us to have instantaneous, impulsive responses to things. And then Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus teaches us to be lovers of enemies. But social media can so often disconnect us from our enemies. In some ways, we can have real ding-dong battles with our enemies, but in other ways, we can get in echo chambers with people that are like-minded to us. And we will all agree that someone that we disagree with on maybe politics or religion or the economy or vaccines or whatever else, we will get in a group of people that all affirm with each other. Yet, yes, those other people over there, they're stupid or they're ridiculous or they don't know what they're talking about. And we can be disconnected from people so that we never actually really hear their stories. We never even ever get to the point of understanding why they think the way they do, or give them show them the love to hear their reasoning or what shaped their thinking or their perspectives. Social media can reinforce our prejudices and reinforce a ghetto mentality. And the reason it does that is because it gives us a sense of belonging and approval and all those sorts of things. And yet Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that we need to be people who love our enemies. And to love your enemy, you've got to have an upside-down view of the kingdom of God. You've got to have a person who's getting rid of anger and contempt and lust and verbal manipulation and revenge. And you get rid of all of those things, which social media, unintentionally maybe, but social media cultivates. But if you get rid of those things, then you can love your enemy. Jesus goes on in chapter 6, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, or to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, turn off the social media." Oh, no, it doesn't say that. "And pray to your Father who is unseen." You see, when we are posting in social media and interacting in social media so much, so often we are actually posting to and for the approval of those that are in our social media networks. And that can, the receiving of feedback, the liking of comments, the responding to photos, all those sorts of things are things that we can be addicted to. And then we want to curate our image, as I've said before, that we want to look good in front of people. We want to be seem to be liking the right things or commenting in the right way or having the right material or doing the right activities or whatever else. We want to practice our righteousness in front of people. We are performing to our social media audience. But Jesus says, no. Do the things like the righteous things. Do them just in secret. Do them for our Heavenly Father. What he would do it for him, not so that anybody else can see, but just you and God. It might lead at the very least to posting a bit less. But it might also lead to reflecting on what am I actually getting out of this? Am I doing it for looking good reasons? Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Father sees them. Do not worry about these things. Social media is a great thing for cultivating worry. because you get exposed to things from all over the world. You get exposed to maybe even the latest things which don't turn out to be true. You know, some information about how people got sick here or where there's something going there. Sometimes it's true and helpful information, but sometimes it isn't. And we're our social media feeds get bombarded and filled with problems and difficulties that are happening all over the world that are far removed from us. And they can be anxiety provoking and worry cultivating. Because in and amongst, we get them in the mix of the cat videos and the dad jokes and the other things that are amusing, but we also get the anxiety producing things and the worry producing things. And yet Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, teaches us not to worry. And so we need to be wise about how we interact with social media. Matthew chapter 7, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Our social media platforms are opinion platforms, and that's had a deleterious effect on our generally on the communications in terms of the media and informing us what's happening, because people lead with opinion. Opinion is cheap to produce. Good investigative journalism is slow and expensive. Opinion is cheap and quick. And you and I get sucked into that process of providing our opinions, which are our judgments. And Jesus says, no, do not judge, or you too will be judged. We need to be very careful that we don't get sucked into providing commentary on lots of situations and lots of people. Now, I'm not saying there isn't some place for that, and there isn't some place for mounting an argument or providing information or whatever else. But what I am talking about is the way our souls get formed by a social media system that encourages the passing of judgment and the sharing of opinions. And we need to be very careful and considered about how that is actually shaping us and how we actually engage with it. And so there is lots in Jesus' seminal teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. When we compare it to social media, we see that they're a disconnect or they're opposites. Social media is a real part of your life and my life. And even if you cancel all of your accounts, it's still going to be there because of the impact on other people and the impact on the wider culture. And so we need to be aware of how these things are shaping us in ways that are actually working against our Christ-likeness. Am I saying that you should get rid of social media? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that you need to be wise about it. You need to be discerning about how it's actually impacting your inward life, which becomes your outward life. And that you follow the way of Jesus. And if that means you get less likes or less reshares or your social media account doesn't get used as much, that's okay, because it's much more important that you and I become like Jesus than that we become social media stars. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would give us discernment. God, that you would show us how our social media interactions are forming and shaping us, or trying to form and trying to shape us. God, help us to see that with greater clarity. And God, fill us with a vision for the sort of people you want us to be, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. May we go for that, God. And God, may you give us the wisdom we need to make the decisions we need to make about the way we interact with social media, God, so that we can become more like your Son, Jesus, which is better than anything else we could ever imagine. So, God, we ask for your help. We ask for your help in forming new habits. We ask for your help in healing us of the things that have been damaged or misformed in us by social media. and we ask that you would help us to engage with these platforms in life-giving ways for ourselves and others. In Jesus' name. Amen.